Welcome back to The Fan. It's the Barbershop. On with you to 2 o'clock. And we go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline where we bring in 92.3 The Fan's own beat reporter, James Rapine. What's going on, James?
What's going on, GB? How you doing?
I'm out here winning, as usual, up by 10, fourth quarter. So, you know what it is, man. We're talking about the tribe, man. You know, Carlos Santana looking like, it's paying dividends, bringing him back into the fold. It looks like he has his bats going, but he's the only one who has the bats going so far. How concerned are you with the lack of sticks so far with the, you know, about 7-8 games in the season?
I'm not concerned yet for a few reasons. One, it's early, which everyone, by the way, if you put that out there on Twitter, they're going to remind you it's early in the season.
That's the number one. It's early.
So everyone says that, just so you know. It's early, if you didn't realize. But here's the thing is this team, this lineup is going to look different a few weeks from now. I just got out of a press conference with Terry Francona, and I know a lot of people interested in Carlos Gonzalez, right? What is he going to bring? And it seems like a foregone conclusion that he's going to make this team and that he's going to contribute. He said it was a matter of getting him ready to go, not evaluating him, not seeing if he's still got something left, just getting him ready to go to join this big league club. So I think that this lineup with Lindor, who was just out on the field, Carlos Gonzalez and others, it's going to look much, much different a month from now. Definitely a month from now, even a few weeks from now. So I think that's why, if you're an Indians fan, just take a breath and realize that this isn't the team you'll be seeing in May.
Talking to James Rapine on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. One of the people who is actually struggling right now is Jose Ramirez. Not hitting up to his standards so far. Like we said, it is early. But no concerns with Jose Ramirez in his early season struggles as well either.
No, not with Jose. I think that they expect him to snap out of it any day. And Francona was asked about that a couple of days ago as well, and he's like, "Yeah, he'll end up being among the league leaders in RBIs and home runs," and he went down the list. So I think he's had some bad luck though. I mean, you look at what happened in spring training, one of the final games, he fouls a ball off of his knee that almost put him in doubt for the opener. And then, the other day he found a ball off of his left foot, and that hurt him. So he didn't get the start yesterday, ended up pinch hitting. So, no, I don't think there's many concerns overall for Jose, but he has had some bad luck with fouling balls off of his leg and his foot.
And when you look at it, we look at the good news from Francisco Lindor. The timetable on his return seems to be put out about a month or so from now. What do the Indians need to do to kind of tread water to get back into this, into a nice little groove and tread water until he gets back ready to go?
You saw it yesterday. I think it was a perfect win for what they have to do early here while they're dealing with injuries is play small ball. I mean, outside of the Carlos Santana walk-off home run, that's what they did. They had the Kevin Blackie home run, but their second run was exactly that. They had four hits, three runs, but their bullpen was they pitched great. I mean, three innings, no runs, one hit, one walk, three strikeouts from Adam Simber in company, Neil Ramirez, and then Oliver Perez. So that's what you need to see from this bullpen. They did that. Obviously, you expect them to get starting pitching in high-end starting pitching, which we saw again yesterday from their fifth starter in Shane Bieber. So that's kind of the blueprint, is what you saw yesterday, is low-scoring, bullpen does its job, and the offense does just enough to get them over the hump. And honestly, thoroughly, but I'm impressed with them so far. 4-3, given all the injuries, given the youngsters that they're throwing out there and the bullpen issues that they've had, they're staying afloat. They're treading above water, like you said, and it's good to see so far for Tribe Fan.
And you know, when you look at this, you look at this division, and we talked to you last week talking about the Twins. And you look at what the division has to offer. Do you see this as more of a two-team race as far as the Twins and the Indians, or do you foresee any other teams, maybe the Royals, the Tigers, the White Sox, anybody giving the Indians or the Twins a push anywhere else in this situation?
I don't. I do think it's a two-team race. Now, that could change, but just looking at this division, looking at the teams on paper, I don't know how you can look at the White Sox, or you could say the Royals, or any of these teams, and think that they have a realistic shot to win the division. Even given all of the Indians' struggles, that rotation is as good as there is in Major League Baseball. So they're going to be in games, period. Regardless of what happens injury-wise, regardless of what happens as far as Lindor is concerned or anything like that. So they're going to be in it. I think the Twins, that lineup is going to keep them in games. They're going to be fun to watch at times this season. So I think they're going to hover and stay close to the Indians in the standings. But I don't see another one of these teams emerging as a threat to win the American League Central.
Talking to James Rapine, 92.3 The Fan's beat reporter for the Cleveland Indians, looking at one of the young teams that a lot of people are looking at, one of the young, exciting teams in baseball, is the Rays. The Rays, it looks like they've kind of reloaded. They were that team kind of competing, back a couple years ago. What are your thoughts on the Rays, and do you think that they'll be able to compete coming up this year for the wild card, or even possibly to make the playoffs this year outright?
They're kind of the same type of model the Indians follow to a lesser degree. Obviously, they're in a tougher division. In the AL East, you got to deal with some high-powered teams that the Indians fans are familiar with, and the Red Sox, and the Yankees, et cetera. But they're a small-market team that's well-run, and they reload. And it will be interesting to see what they do and how they do it. I'm with you. I think at some point the Tampa Bay Rays are going to emerge again. It could be as soon as this year. It's really early. Do I think the Red Sox are going to be as bad as they've been? No. Do I think some of those teams are going to continue to struggle? No. So it will be interesting to see. But I'm with you. I think that the Rays are well run. They kind of have a blueprint for how they do things. They're not going to sign top dollar contracts or anything like that, but they're going to have good player evaluation, make the right trades and the right moves, and put themselves in a position to compete. So I wouldn't be shocked if they compete. I also don't think that they can win that division given who else is in it. It's a really tough division. Might be the toughest in baseball.
You know what I got? You know what? You always got one tough one. I got one tough one. I'm gonna try to every time I talk to you. I'm gonna ask you one tough question. You know what, Lindor? Uh-huh. If you take a look at his contract and what he's actually 3 years from now, we still have him under contract. And before we get you out of here, I want to ask you this one final question. If you have Francisco Lindor, this is a two-part question. What do you think his market value is 3 years from now? Do you think it's $300 million, $350 million? And A, if the Cleveland Indians don't plan on signing him in 3 years, do you believe his highest market value you can get for him in a trade is now?
Yeah. So two things. One, I think he is going to make in that $300 to $350 million range. I've heard some say $400 million or go higher. I don't think it's going to go that high. I just don't. I might be wrong about that. I don't think it's going to get there. We're obviously seeing him deal with a couple of injuries now, but assuming he doesn't have anything serious go wrong, he's going to be 28 years old. He's played in 158 or more games 3 straight years. So it's not like durability has been a concern with Frankie. Mm-hmm. He's a great fielder, has more power than I think anybody realized when he was coming up. He's worth it. As far as trade value, and that was your question, right, GB?
Yes, value. What kind of haul would you get for him if you traded Francisco Lindor, and is his trade value the highest now?
At this very moment, I mean, it's extremely high. It's as high as any any player in baseball, I would say. I mean, given that he's got three more years, including this season, he's not going to make $30 million in arbitration. So he's under team control. So, yeah, his value is extremely high right now, even though he's dealing with that sprain. That being said, I think you'd still get a lot in return for him if you decided to trade him a year from now, or, you know, next offseason or the offseason after that. So you're going to get a lot in return for him. But the thing is that's going to be prospects. That's going to be unproven commodities. It just is. You're not going to get a bona fide star that's under team control for the next 5 years that the Indians can afford in exchange for Francisco Lindor. You're going to get prospects that you hope can become extremely talented. And there are only so many Lindors on the planet. So, yeah, would you get a lot on paper for him? Absolutely. It's also a risk, especially to do it anytime soon. If I'm the Indians, I hold on to him at least for the next 2 years, assuming they think the window's still open. And then maybe the offseason before he becomes a free agent, you decide to move on from him and get something in return. You don't want to hold on to him too long if you don't think you can re-sign him. I'm still in the boat. You try to re-sign him. But I'm alone, I think, on that ship as far as that's concerned. Now, obviously, fans want it to happen. I just don't think anyone thinks it's realistic.
Hey, man. James, I thank you for the call, man. You're off the of hot course, seat.
by the way, Lindor, I just watched him field some ground ball.
I'll have
some video up at 92.3thefan.com momentarily.
Hey, man, check that out, man. We're going to listen. Check that out. Listen, that's the way you plug your information, man. Plug that, man. Stop playing around. Go check that out immediately. Right after you get off the phone, check that out, and we're going to break too.
All right, man. Take care. Appreciate you having me.
I appreciate you, man. That's James Rapine on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.